flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We do have Max Brown coming up in 20 minutes. As a former college football quarterback, now lead college football analyst for the CW Sports, also NFL draftnik as well, and he has a prediction on the Browns at 2 that he says will create controversy that we'll get to. I kind of am perplexed by the Deion won't let Shador come to Cleveland narrative. I understand there might be some preferences there. But, I mean, even the Deion stepping in and pulling the Arch Manning, it's just so rare, and we talk about it so much, and it just never happens.
I mean, Nick, like, realistically, what are we putting this out? Like a 1% chance at best?
I mean, I'd give 5.
5?
But even still, that's a remote chance.
It's a wild the amount of time people have spent talking about what will Deion do in this scenario. I don't believe he's going to pull a Manning. I don't believe he's going to do any of that stuff. There's no reason to believe that he's going to do that stuff.
I mean, the only reason is he's Deion.
And just likes to make it about himself sometimes.
Yeah,
and
the circus. I think that's what people expect with this. They are like, well, everything else with Deion is a circus. He's going to make this about himself. How can he do that?
I wonder,
where the plausibility comes in, not that there's actually any merit to this.
See, but I wonder if that's more Clevelanders projecting there than it is Deion necessarily.
All right, I've been working on this theory for a minute. So apologies to Anthony Lima. Good luck with the old snip snip, buddy. But I've been working on this theory that I think
we're all rooting for you, Lima.
Yeah. Make sure to the ice. It's got to go in the right spot, right?
Drop the D on that one.
Don't. It's the other one.
And I'm not even going to say it's odd they got a cake. I'm pro cake anytime, anywhere.
No, they got a brookie. That's the problem.
What's a brookie?
They got a brownie cookie or a cookie cake. That's what it is.
Oh, I like cookie cakes.
I think they're awful.
What?
Just awful. And one year, Vanessa got one for my birthday thinking I liked them. Hate it. And I had to sit there,
eat cookie cake,
and act like I liked it.
I mean, they're not an ice cream cake.
No. It's the lowest form of cake. Cheesecake, superior. Regular cake, superior.
The lowest form
carrot
of cake?
Carrot cake, superior.
Well, yeah, carrot cake's delicious.
Yeah. Cookie cakes are trash. Somebody has to say it.
Oh, man. I mean, I'm glad you're the one saying it, not me.
The one with diabetes is the one saying this.
If my taste buds didn't like cookie cake, I'd be devastated. I love
cookies.
I love cake.
I do not love cookie cake.
Okay.
That's it. It's insists
so
upon itself.
What I tap into there.
All right. With the my working theory on the Shador thing is, when I hear Deion's not going to let him come here, I think that's them saying that's what they want to happen. I don't think it's...
I thought it was a protecting thing.
No. I think it's the opposite.
Like, we're not going to love you because we don't want to get hurt.
No, I think it is, we shouldn't even be talking about this. It's not going to happen because they won't let it happen, so we don't have to worry about it. I think it's absolutely a projection.
I mean, there is a weird thing happening around Shador and the conversation around Shador. And
I think it's weird. I think it's pretty understandable given Dion.
I mean, just in general, the conversation around, like, for as talented as I believe he is, the amount of people that are just so dismissive about it and like, no, I think a lot of that comes from the idea that they don't believe that Dion will even allow it to happen.
Or is it wishful thinking? It's just, by the way, it could be both because there's room for enough for multiple people to have different opinions on this. I think what makes the Shador conversation, this is where you've taken up a cause in an arms that I think you're going to be spending a lot of time defending over the next 3 months, is there's just so many bad narratives around Shador. Like, there really are. Like, for instance, if Dion would prefer him not to play here, why do I care about that? Unless he's willing to exert his power, which even then, if I'm the Browns, call his bluff.
He's
a college football head coach. If Shador doesn't come here, is Shador going to sit out a full season of football and forego that ticking clock of the contract? I highly doubt it.
It's just, from a financial standpoint, incredibly stupid. And then from an actual playing standpoint, incredibly stupid.
Yeah, like, I understand why lifestyle-wise you'd rather be in Vegas. I understand why you might prefer... I actually don't know why you'd prefer Brian Daboll to Kevin Stefanski. That's a wild one.
I mean, okay, but I wouldn't bring market size into it only because Patrick Mahomes is winning in Kansas City. Josh Allen is winning in Buffalo, right? We have these conversations with the NBA, you know, constantly, where it's like, you can be a star anywhere these days. That part, like, the endorsements are going to come to you. If you're Shador and you're good, the endorsements are coming to you. You don't have to worry about that stuff.
Yeah, well, but also...
It's just whether or not he thinks we're too much of a train wreck.
But here's the thing. Here's the other part of this. You and I might scoff at the never-ending support Kevin Stefanski has in the national media. And I think some of that is Kevin's really good at playing the game. As bad as he is at press conferences, he's really good at calling up friend that works at Fox Sports and being like, I'll give you the real skinny here. He's great at that stuff. And I think that plays. I do think that plays into his natural favor. That I think they, and not just they, like the organization, harvested a lot of national contacts, probably at the expense of the local, but that's fine. That's a preference thing. I mean, I don't want to knock them for that. I just mean, like, they play the game nationally really, really well. Also, the other thing going for Kevin is he's not Hugh Jackson. He hasn't embarrassed the Browns. But those points are... How is that not a sales pitch? Like, how is Kevin Stefanski not something that that Dion himself would look at and go, well, I'd rather that than, we don't even know who Slappy McGee is in Vegas yet, but I'd rather that than Brian Daboll, who's going to be fired next year.
That's part of the point, is you don't know who Slappy McGee is in Vegas.
Unless Dion's Slappy McGee.
Unless Dion is Slappy McGee. Which, and then, by the way, if Dion is that, then the conversation shifts and changes dramatically in an obvious way, but... It's not going to... I don't think that's going to happen either. Maybe Shador loves Tom Brady so much because Tom Brady has been able to work with him, speaks glowingly about him. They have a personal relationship that Brady has publicly talked about, and maybe that's just... Dion's like, hey, listen, I'll put my faith in the Super Bowl champ and probably the GOAT at the position. I don't see that in today's day and age, though.
Do you agree that there's just a lot of trash narratives around Shador?
But it just bothers me so much because it feels like everywhere you turn, that's part of the conversation is, well, Dion won't let him come here. You have no basis for that. Dion has not publicly said he won't let the Browns draft his quarterback. And anytime he's been asked about the Browns, he has gone the other direction to speak glowingly about it. So I don't understand it.
Dion is like a religious text. They say there's a lot in there. And you can twist it however you would want to. Dion said stuff 4 years ago that were contradictory within like a month of him saying
it. Yeah, he is as the wind moves.
Yeah. And again,
like, that man is not. I don't behold him to anything that he said 3 hours ago.
And that's part of why,
even though he did say glowingly things about the Browns, I guess.
Like, so, yeah. I mean, I think like Dion's perfect to exist in a troll culture because he does use troll tactics. I'm not calling him a troll because he's a respected football coach, and I want to put some respect on that. But
he walks like a duck and talks like a duck, Nick.
Dion knows that if he just throws 75 things out there, Five of them might catch, but that's all you need.
Well, he comes from the Jerry Jones school of attention.
Yep.
And he's very good at getting attention.
But yeah, it's just wild to watch the Deion won't let Shador come to Cleveland conversation. Like, here's all that matters. Do you think Shador is worthy of being the number two pick? Do you think he's a franchise quarterback? Do you think yes? I still am very torn on Shador. And it's not just Shador. It's these quarterbacks and their ceiling versus their floor and the risk attached versus a risk of a different kind of quarterback in free agency or whatever. But at the same point, like it's a distraction. It's a red herring. It does not matter within this conversation, because until Deion says, I don't want him to go to Cleveland, you have no reason to believe that he won't. Right?
Yeah.
So like, but that to me is the same thing as holding, you know, Shador guilty for the sins of the father, and sins being a very loosely applied term there.
Right, right. Like, suggesting that because Deion's a circus, the circus is coming to town.
Yeah,
it's so unfair to Shador.
And it might be true. It might be true. That's something the Browns have to explore.
Yeah.
But it's not an immediate. I think so many of the, and this is why I said the early thing of, well, people, it's the, well, he doesn't want to come here, so we don't have to think about that, right? It's the, if enough people say that, then maybe the Browns won't want to draft him because in the end, you don't want Shador here. But the Browns can't worry about that. The Browns have to analyze the player. They have to get to know him. And then they have to make a decision on really, truly how good that player is. But everything else, right? Every other thing that I've heard, the circus comes to town, the diva stuff, they're all stuff you have to look at. But none of them today are reasons why you can just discount him coming here.
Right. And listen, I'm not, as much as I defend Shador, I'm not saying he is a saint. I'm not saying he is, a choir boy. I don't lump him in with Deion the same way that I think a lot of people do.
216-474-0092. So we heard Mary Kay Cabot at the start of the segment, basically saying similar things to what we're saying about the Deion and Shador thing. The only thing I would disagree with, I don't think she was saying this, but I think she was saying, well, if Deion has his reservations, the Browns can sit down and here's what they'll sell him on. I don't even think you're going to have to get that far.
Also, but I know he's part of the package. I get that. But selling the dad seems so weird to me.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it does.
It happens more than I think you realize. Well,
no, but it's also like, you know, every now and then you hear these stories of these kids these days. It's a younger generation thing, but they'll bring their parents to job interviews. And I'm like, if I was a hiring manager, do you know how turned off I'd be by that?
It's
a ridiculous concept.
We
want you for the job, not you and your mom.
No one's letting me hire anybody here. All right, let's just be clear about that.
How about, but the moment somebody brought their parent into the equation, you're out, aren't you?
No. I'm in for a 2-hour interview.
Well, you're going to lock them in and be like,
this is the Lord of the Rings type journey. And I want every bit of details. Do they do their own laundry? Like, we're going to be there.
You're
and by the way, in the end, they're not getting the job. But I will punish that person on a biblical level. A lot of biblical references this one. But biblical level for bringing their parent.
Yeah, parents, let your kids be adults. When they actually get to be of age, let them actually be an adult. Don't go to their job interviews. It's weird.
Max Brown, lead college football analyst for the CW Sports and Draft Nick, tells us how the Browns can create controversy at 422 on 92.3 The Fan. He's a Draft Nick. He's a former college quarterback. He's the lead college football analyst for CW Sports. Max Brown joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Max, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on. Great to be here.
Well, I did want to kind of get to this because it was a hell of a tease that you put in the body of the text of your mock draft there. So I'm curious how in this event, that with the first 24 picks of the NFL draft, how would you see the Browns creating controversy?
Yes, and they're at two. I think, it all starts with the quarterback position. As we know, that's the position during the NFL draft, and especially with the first couple of picks. And to me, there is a huge drop-off after quarterback two getting to quarterback three. And the question of who quarterback three is going to be is, I think, going to be the question leading up to the combine. And it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds. But the reason that the Browns specifically is because with them sitting at two and you have the Giants just behind them at three, they need a quarterback. And then, oh, by the way, the Raiders at six, uncertainty with the Jets at seven. I would put the Saints in their quarterback situation with Derek Carr. That's a little bit uncertain. And there's just a lot of teams sitting in that pack right behind the Browns and say, you know what, this would be a year that we'd love to get a quarterback, yet I don't think there's a third quarterback that is going to fall in that mid or maybe late top 10 range or mid first round range. And as a result, it could create need for those teams to want to trade up. And who are they going to be calling? They're going to be calling the Cleveland Browns to see if they can get something done.
All right, but Max, why wouldn't the Browns just take a quarterback themselves, though?
I think they should. I think they should. That's what I would do if I was the Browns. But it feels like when you turn on a lot of these mock drafts, you have people wanting one of those first two teams to take Travis Hunter. I think it should go quarterback, quarterback. But if you have a team that looks at a Travis Hunter or maybe it's a front seven player and gets excited, maybe they go that route. But no, I'm in agreement. I think it should go quarterback, quarterback. If you're the Browns, you're not – I mean, I know Browns fans are maybe used to every so often being in this top end of the first round and you are drafting a quarterback. But I do think there's a lot of teams sitting behind them. You know, I'm from the Seattle area. They're Seahawks fans. They're like, man, should we have tanked over the past 4 or 5 years to get in a position where maybe we're able to draft a guy and we'll see what happens with Geno Smith? That's a different conversation. But when you're at the top and you have the ability to take a quarterback that I think both those top two guys are quality prospects, I think you got to pull the trigger.
Max, with that, I'm team trade down because I want to get, especially Vegas just feels like a team that could do something dumb and desperate and overpay for the number two pick. Because in my mind, I'd rather Sam Darnold, the sixth pick, maybe Mason Graham, or you know, maybe the second best edge rusher, maybe the best tackle. I'd rather that than just predictably Shedeur at two. It is like, would you rather in this case, Sam Darnold and maybe the sixth pick, Or just Shedeur straight up?
We should let everyone know that Sam Darnold, I think he did replace you at USC 1 year, right? So I want to make sure you're not unbiased. Unbiased opinion.
It's either going to be he's going to love Sam Darnold, or man, he's going to have to turn his back on Sam Darnold.
If that competition goes a different way, Max, you're basically Sam Darnold right now with an amazing career.
Yeah, one throw, I would be the 2025 Browns starting quarterback.
That's how I hear it. I don't know, Max. Yeah.
No, Sam's a good dude. I've been rooting for him the whole way through and glad he's having success. But that scenario is interesting because if I'm a Browns fan, I mean, I think the market to go get Sam Darnold, like everyone keeps saying, oh, get a Baker Mayfield-esque deal of what Baker got with the Bucks. Like, I almost think Darnold can get more than that. And I don't know if you, with where the Browns are at, I don't know if you want to necessarily take that on. I think you do have to make a decision of, hey, what direction are we going? Obviously, you have Deshaun's contract and all the uncertainty there and the huge, huge price tag there, and you guys know that better than me. But I also think if you're trading down, you're also saying, hey, let's build for the future, and hey, I'll see you in 2-3 years kind of thing, which then do you double down, trade down, and maybe explore, hey, what's out there for a guy like Myles Garrett and get even more assets and again say, hey, NFL, I'll see you in 3 years when we're stockpiling picks and we'll follow maybe the Detroit Lions plan a little bit.
Max, as an aside, you would have killed in the NIL era, by the way. I mean, Pittsburgh would have had to give you the bag.
Don't remind me. Pittsburgh would have been the small bag. Coming out of high school would have been the real bag.
You got any eligibility left?
You would have had the Quinn Ewers.
Can you get the COVID year? Like, yeah, what can we do here?
You would have been a millionaire before you ever even stepped on a field. It would have been great, Max. I'm where you're at. I'm quarterback, quarterback. Tell me what you like about Shedeur. Tell me what you like about Cam Ward.
Yeah, I love Shedeur. I think the thing that jumps out right away is his toughness, which is not necessarily the first thing that you would think of when he's got the flash and, you know, the apparel and obviously who his dad is. But he can hang in the pocket. I think of all the quarterbacks in this, you know, top few round draft, he does as good of any with throwing with anticipation. And I don't think it's insignificant that he's continued to rise to the occasion and continued to meet expectations when he's been living under a microscope with who his dad is and just all the attention. I feel like the past couple of years at Colorado, there are a lot of games that they would not even remotely be close to those games if they didn't have Shedeur at their quarterback. He had to show up every single game and play at an elite level for Colorado to even be in the conversation. I don't think you can say that about every recent first round NFL quarterback. For Cam Ward, it's been fun following his path. I called a couple of his games his first year at Washington State and a couple more the second year at Washington State, and obviously followed from afar this past year. And I think his growth year to year is exciting. I think he has a higher ceiling than Shedeur because of that growth that you've seen the past 24 months and the fact that I mean, what, 4 or 5 years ago, he was playing in a wing T high school offense and barely had any offers at all and had to go to Incarnate Ward. That would excite me if I was a Browns fan to say he already balled out last year in college and there might be even more ceiling for him to tap into. And I think he's got he makes plays. He makes big-time throws. He's got a little bit of that gunslinger mentality, which, you know, you're not just looking for guys to come in and just be a nice, quality, hey, make a couple Pro Bowls type of guy. If you're going to win Super Bowls, you got to go out there and beat Lamar, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, those guys. And I think the ceiling that Cam's capable of would excite me if I was sitting there with a chance to draft him.
Max Brown, lead college football analyst for the CW Sports, also former USC and Pitt quarterback, draft Nick as well in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Yesterday, we got into the Travis Hunter debate because Mel Kiper in his most recent mock draft put the Browns at 2, taking Travis Hunter. How much of his value do you think is the idea that he can play both ways? And do you think he's more of a corner or a wide receiver?
To me, it'd be very little of the value, to be honest. I would draft him as a corner through and through, and I'd plant him on one side of the field and say, I got that position taken care of for the next 10 years at an elite level. I think he can be special. I think he can be one of the best in recent memory at corner in terms of his size. I mean, he's long, he's physical, not afraid to tackle, as good of ball skills from a corner spot as we've seen. But then the flip side, receiver-wise, I would take Tateroa McMillan over him as receiver one, the dude from Arizona, who's an absolute stud and sometimes gets lost in the shuffle in terms of receiver. But if Travis was just a receiver, you know, to me, he doesn't stand out. He can be a first-round prospect as a receiver, but of the bunch of recent memory, of the, call it, 12 first-round receivers we've seen, to me, he doesn't stand out far and above any of those guys, really. I think he's in that group, sure, but the reality is of those guys in recent memory that have been you know, drafted as first-round guys, yes, some have worked out and been great, but other guys have just kind of been run-of-the-mill receivers, and I think it is easier to find receivers than an impact corner, so I think the receiver aspect, if he has a certain packages in the game and you're able to, you know, loop him in for a drive, a half type of thing, sure. But to me, it's got to be corner first and foremost. And that to me is not a knock on him. I think he can be absolutely special and one of the best to play that position in recent memory.
Max, I want to go back to the quarterbacks and your bread and butter because I want to figure out, outside of Cam and Shador, who's the quarterback that you look at and you're just blown away? You think there's more value there than maybe what a lot of people necessarily see?
Yeah, Kyle McCord, the Syracuse quarterback, is one that I got my eye on. I called three of his games in person, and, you know, Fran Brown, Syracuse's head coach, is getting a lot of pub for Syracuse winning, what, 10 games this year. But, man, if they didn't have Kyle McCord, that team might have been struggling to get a bowl game. And they're throwing the ball 50 times a game, and I think, you know, the perseverance that from Kyle at Ohio State, where it was very much a game manager, goes to Syracuse, what leads the country in passing yards, I believe it was a pretty efficient doing it and led him to some big time wins. I just like his edge. Again, I don't think there's a third quarterback that's a top 20 pick type of quarterback in this draft. But if you get late in this first round with some teams that are saying, you know what, we have to pull trigger, we have to get a guy. I'm not ready to say Kyle McCord's a first-round quarterback, but I do think his value is something that's being slept on. And again, with that drop-off after quarterback two, I think Jackson Dart will be in that decision at 3, a guy that I've followed a bunch from his days at USC and then Ole Miss, obviously. But again, I think there's a huge void of after QB2 hitting the QB3.
Max, it's interesting that we're having this conversation because the guy that replaced him, Will Howard, a big topic of conversation this week has been, you know, how much did he improve his draft stock with the playoffs specifically and with the national championship game? So if you were, let's say you had the 33rd pick like the Browns had, and you had Dart there, and you had Milroe there, and you had Howard there and McCord, Would you take Kyle McCord out of those four quarterbacks? Do you think it's a...
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Conversation between McCord and Howard.
I don't think it's a conversation between McCord and Howard. I'd take McCord before Howard for sure. I think McCord doesn't have the luxury of leaning on his legs in crucial downs, and therefore, and like Howard did in college, which got him out of trouble at certain times. But Howard's not an elite enough athlete to take his mobility to the NFL and have the NFL have that be a huge part of his NFL game. Versus McCord, he's never had the luxury of really relying on his legs, so I don't think his game is going to have to adjust as much. I'd say the same thing about Riley Leonard. I saw the Colin Cowherd quote about, oh, Riley Leonard's the next Josh Allen. It's not even close to me. And the reason being is, you know, when it's 3rd and 6, Notre Dame's calling quarterback runs all the time. That's not real life in the National Football League. So both those guys, very good college, Riley Leonard and Will Howard, very good college quarterbacks. I think they're going to have a steeper adjustment to the NFL relative to a guy like Kyle McCord and his skill set. But to answer your direct question, I do think I lean Jackson Dart for that third quarterback. I think he's just the amount of starts, the amount of reps, again, pocket guy, but I do think his mobility translates a little bit more to the NFL in terms of his ability, like pocket awareness and pocket movement and whatnot, and wouldn't surprise me if he ends up being that QB3.
You're so good talking quarterbacks. I guess I got to ask you about the one we haven't talked to you about yet. Tommy Rees is the offensive coordinator with the Browns. He coached Jalen Milroe at Alabama a couple years ago. What do you see with Jalen Milroe? It felt like this last year kind of took a step back without Tommy Rees, but Tommy Rees is now with the Browns and in the building.
Yeah, I wanted him to go back to school another year, and I was surprised he did not for a few different reasons. I thought the NIL money for him would be there where, you know, it would potentially be comparable money to what he's ultimately going to get in the NFL draft, or potentially even better, which kind of sounds crazy. And I also thought there was an opportunity in year two with Kalen DeBoer at Alabama to, you know, build upon what they did in year one. But at the end of the day, I just don't think he's developed enough as a passer to come into the National Football League and have a ton of success right away. I mean, naturally, people are going to comp him and Lamar Jackson skill set wise because they're both, you know, dynamic elite athletes. But Lamar was much further along in his ability to win from the pocket consistently than Jalen is. Even if you look at the play calling that Alabama did, I mean, a lot of those play calls, you're putting the offense in empty formation, which kind of naturally dumbs down the defense. And it scares the defense as well, because Jalen's basically a running back in there in the backfield as well. And I don't think he was forced to process the amount of reads that most of these quarterbacks are. He wasn't forced to really work through his progressions on a down-in, down-out basis like other quarterbacks. So I think he could have benefited from going back to school, getting a whole another 15 starts of quarterback reps to help him elevate as a passer. And at that point, I could have seen him be a top end or top first-round draft pick of the 2026 draft. I'm curious where he nets out in this one because, again, you have those teams after the Browns that need quarterbacks. There's a good batch of them. Does one of them take a flyer and say, hey, Max, you're right, he needs to grow as a passer, but he's such an elite athlete in a quarterback spot that's evolving. Hey, we'll work with him, we'll develop him, and we'll take a chance on him. Wouldn't surprise me if that happens, but again, I think he could have benefited from going back to school.
Max, great stuff, man. Awesome to see your rise in kind of the draft community and as you know what you're doing with the CW as a draft analyst. Great to see that, man. Keep striving and surviving and thriving, bud, and we appreciate you.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much. I turned into Dusty Rhodes there at one point.
There was a lot of rhyming.
It was a
promo.
It felt good. You know, I'm not going to lie.
But once you had the second one, then I was like, he's going for a third.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was like, surviving. He's doing more than surviving. No, he's thriving. Max Brown on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, lead college football analyst for the CW Sports. We got to get into the McCord stuff because I think that's going to be a conversation over the next couple weeks as well at 4:43 on 92.3 The Fan. I thought it was really interesting because he's not the first person I've heard say McCord as maybe the third quarterback off the board. And I'm willing to say that Kyle McCord absolutely was not a game manager at Syracuse this year.
Yeah.
So we saw him in a different context. And there is a thread, and it kind of goes with the Will Howard thing too. There is a thread of Ryan Day reeling in the quarterback, right?
Or taking the governor off.
Well, no, because for C.J. Stroud, we never saw the guy run until the Georgia game.
The Georgia game is when you got to see him just explode, though.
Yeah. And then he's better.
And like the playoff, that's the argument people are making right now with Will Howard. Yep. In the playoffs, so the governor came off and he was able to just do whatever he needed to do. I mean, is Kyle McCord looking at Ryan Day like, why'd you hold me back? I don't believe that's happening.
No, but I think you can make a case. And again, some coaches are just control freaks, and that's okay. I mean, Ryan's doing all right. But like, I think C.J. Stroud's arguably a better NFL quarterback than he was in college. He was really, really good in college.
I don't think it's even arguable.
But it is. I mean, watch the guy. He changes the game at the NFL level, and he has the first 2 years of his career. I think that should inform our thoughts on McCord and Howard. I think that's what makes both of these guys interesting is we haven't seen Will Howard now post his Ohio State time we have with McCord. I just continue to look back at McCord. He doesn't move well enough.
I wonder if that was the type of thing where he's done three of his games, and sometimes when you have broadcasters on, they've done a lot of their games. They fall in love with the guy.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing. I get it.
He put up a lot of big numbers.
But the two things that were my biggest concern about Kyle McCord moving forward for a second year as a starting quarterback are the same things I worry about now, which are the does he come off his first read, meaning, and how quickly does he do it? And then the second thing is, can he hang with the athleticism?
Yeah.
The 2.5 seconds is how quick you're going to have to get that damn thing off.
Wait, did I get that right, though? Does he think he'd be third quarterback off the board?
Yes.
Is that what he
said? Well, actually, I think he said Jackson Dart, but he said he thinks McCord's in the conversation.
Because he had no love for Jalen Milroe, who's the guy that everyone believes at this point is going to be third quarterback off the board.
I think Milroe's you see it or you don't. I think he will end up being probably the most.
Do you know
polarizing.
How much nightmare fuel that will be for Browns fans that are also Buckeye fans if they draft Kyle McCord?
Yeah.
And try to tell us that he's the guy?
Yes.
Like end of the first round, they trade into the first round to go ahead and get Kyle McCord. Your brain is melting at the prospect of it.
Well, what I went and checked Dame Parsons, who does draft evals for Bleacher Report. He has Will Howard and Kyle McCord as like the same grade. Like it is maybe a third round pick, maybe a fourth round pick.
Okay.
And now obviously they're different profiles, but I think he said Kirk Cousins for Kyle McCord and Mason Rudolph for Will Howard.
Look at you getting in the comps.
By the way, living in those
dirty comp waters.
But if I'm taking one of these dudes, I'm taking Will. Like he's he's bigger.
I agree 100%. Yeah.
He's got a stronger arm. He's actually more accurate, which I think is the other part of this.
Mm-hmm.
And he's more mobile. And the best thing I think, and this is real fair, the best thing I think Max said about Will Howard in the whole summation was he's not going to make the same kind of difference in the NFL with those athletes, but that I don't think that's going to be a big part of what he does. I just think Will has functional mobility at the NFL level. I think Kyle is a immobile quarterback, and that is a huge risk because that dude can either get the ball out quickly and make the right decision or not. That like
I'm going to be a conference snob too. He was helped by the conference he played in as well.
Oh, so you're saying that the ACC not on par with the Big Ten?
Yeah. Cover me surprised.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
that's a hot take. We have to put that one up.
Yeah,
I did.
Please.
I will. So we were actually planning on talking about this anyways. I had such a good laugh today because one of the aggregating accounts in football. What is that? It's the NFL Watch or some dumb bleep like this. Oh, it's NFL Rookie Watch. I want to read this tweet to you.
Okay, yeah, because when you sent it over, I was very confused.
Kyle McCord is able to rally a team like no other quarterback in this year's draft. Several NFL teams reportedly have McCord ranked a lot higher than the national average. Many NFL scouts reportedly believe McCord's victory over Cam Ward this season drastically, in quotations, by the way, boosted his stock. In that game, McCord threw for 380 yards, 3 touchdowns to knock off the 6th-ranked Hurricanes. The orange quarterback is going to be special, all caps with a fire emoji after it. Here's the thing. It's not attributed to anybody. It's not, and I'm like John McClain, the general, McClain retweeted it. I'm like,
he retweets all sorts of
like,
things.
Like, what are we doing here? And then,
that's retirement, John McClain.
And then
we can't hold that accountable.
And they put a video. We're not going to play the video because we don't have time. They put a video of like Kyle McCord like hyping up the locker room. Yeah, nobody does this. It's quarterback I've been around.
The NFL bot world is out of control right now, okay? Yeah. Because they've understood and recognized how this works. Now that people get paid on Twitter for engagement and for getting people basically to pay attention to them, they just throw anything out there.
It's
a real problem.
It's they've ruined Dove Klieman, albeit he was problematic 2 years ago. But yeah. New Dove Klieman, not great.
Well, the worst is when they do the things where they're like Mario Chalmers. No one was better than him in college, and then they'll actually show a photo of Derrick Rose or something.
So
that bothers the daylights out of me, and they get so much engagement because it's just people commenting, being like, "That's Derrick Rose, not Mario Chalmers." You can tell what game I have on my mind today.
I kind of want to do that. I will. I got to tell you, though, I think the
you
want to
do that? You want to become a farm engagement Twitter bot?
At this point, this working hard thing is for the birds. I do think it's going to be a really interesting thing to see who goes first. I don't think I can discount.
You won't smile if it's the Browns and it's Kyle McCord. I know that.
Not a 33. Can you imagine the meltdown? If Melrose's on the board, if Jackson Dart's on the board, if Will Howard's on the board. Oh, the meltdown.
Max better be wrong. Let's put it that way.
216-474-0092. Who are you more comfortable being the first quarterback off the board between the two of them, Will Howard or Kyle McCord, the 5 at 5 at 502 next on 92.3 The Fan.